number of people missing because of very important pro-life speech given by Cardinal O'Connor from New York. And though I was cordially invited, I figured the Lord wanted me to be here. So, and then, just for the record, I'll be leaving on Friday, Washington, then touch base overnight on Saturday, key retreat to the Norbertines in California, then spend 2 days with Father Fox in Sioux Falls, then give a week seminar to Missionaries of Charity in Mexico City. So I'll be back. Give a brief report with some exhibits from my trip to Rome. As you know, I may have told you, this is my 22nd year working for the Holy See. People ask me what I do, and I tell them odd jobs. Let me just briefly summarize what I went to Rome for, whom I saw, and both the Ignatian and Marian catechists came up frequently in the conversation. In fact, without you people and what you can be doing for the church, there wouldn't be really much point in my going to Rome, because there's work to be done, but somebody has to do it. And last week's stay in Rome, I really believe, was the most, at least most hopeful that I've had in 20 years of working for Rome. The immediate reason that I went to Rome was to meet with the Pontific Committee for International Eucharistic Congresses. And this is their publication. He bought 150 of these from the Vatican Press. And they're quite expensive, by the way. I think they're $9 or $10 a piece. But they ran out of all their copies that they had in Rome. He planned to reprint them in the United States. And the purpose going to Rome with three Marian catechists and also the benefactor who paid for the trip and stay in Rome came with us, you know, with his young son who graduated from high school the morning that we left for Rome. And this meeting was with Cardinal Gagnon, who is the president of the committee, and his assistants. And the plan that he worked out, which you'll be hearing more about, but I want to make sure that even as I'm speaking now, that I'm not merely giving you a report on a trip to Rome. In all my years of working with ODC, I've yet to visit the Vatican Library, the Vatican Museum. I just don't go sightseeing. Work to be done, schedule every hour, do the job, and then come home. In other words, one reason I'm sharing this with you is to motivate you for involvement, and I want to be very open with you that since we began the Marian Catechists, which we did about 7 years ago, Ignatian Catechists, second year, what I found And this is simply part of God's providence. And the people who feel it's worth their while to come, say, to our meetings, but beyond that, as far as becoming further involved, well, it maybe doesn't occur to them. Now, it's not merely a hope. This is a necessity. In other words, there have to be some dedicated people who will be sufficiently convinced of the value of teaching the faith, and there are so many ways of doing it, that without being paid for their services, this is an absolute must. Without being paid for their services, however they provide for their livelihood or whatever other jobs they have, that they are willing and do in fact offer their services. Now, even as I'm talking about, these are just some things I brought with me and other reports I'd like to make. And by the end of the summer, given the needs of the church, to make sure that I know who among you is available for, well, contributing their services. Not a question of your paying money, but rather providing such service as may be needed. Because that's the assumption under which, at least in recent years, I have been going to Rome and called by them. And there are people in the United States who are willing and able to provide such services as will be needed in the propagation of the faith, whether by evangelization to those who have never been baptized, or as catechesis to those who need instruction in their faith. I want to be real clear, and certainly my week in Rome convinced me, that if I have created any other impression that these are weekly meetings for refreshing your faith, well, that's not the reason for our meetings. It's to indeed instruct, but especially motivate you. And I assure you, every minute you would spend with me, by the way, would you mind coming up to the front? Every minute that you would devote, I can assure you, will have been not only authorized by the Holy See post factum, but really initiated by the Holy See. No one that I know of, unless they actually work with the Vatican, we have the faintest idea on how desperately, and I use that adverb deliberately, how desperately poor the Holy See is. We are living, I mean every word, we are living in a dream world. The needs of souls are overwhelming. And they just are not the people, is not the personnel to do the work that needs to be done. So, well, the first is, and what I might do is just, rather than pass it around, which would be, I think, irrelevant, our plan for this is to first plan during the coming year the International Eucharistic Congress to be held next year is in Seville, Spain, 3rd to the 11th of June. And Spain was chosen because it was from Spain that Columbus came to what turned out to be the New World and brought the faith. It'll be a week's congress in Seville, and the hopes of the Holy Father are that there will be as many Americans as possible attending, and not merely passively but actively becoming involved in the International Congress. The Holy Father's hope is it will be the greatest International Eucharistic Congress ever, tied in with the quincentennial of the discovery of the New World. The second area of work still regarding the International Eucharistic Congress is to encourage bishops to have Eucharistic Congresses of their own dioceses. And that again, somebody has to do the organizational work, promotion, and so on. And in the third is Eucharistic catechetics. Left the report with Cardinal Sanchez, spent 2 hours in conversation with him, and when I would ask you by the 1st of July, and I couldn't give you a more formal assignment, this one. When I want to report to the congregation of the clergy, that's the congregation that has the catechetical side of the church's apostolic work. This committee is in charge, you might say, the externals of the Eucharistic Congress in Seville. Had a meeting in November. I did not attend, but some Marian catechists were in Rome for that. 43 nations were represented. And the committee for the International Eucharistic Congresses is a kind of a liaison for the different countries, but their job in Rome is merely organization. I'm hoping that at least some of you could come to Seville in June of next year. And if any of you know any Spanish, I'd appreciate if you brushed up on your Spanish, because the directive that I received was to make sure that those who come to Seville would know Spanish well enough to be of service. So that would be the... Now the third is the catechetical side, whose jurisdiction belongs not to this committee, but then to the congregation for the clergy, whose prefect is Cardinal Sanchez from the Philippines. Now, what I would like to do by our next meeting, 1st of July, first, I want from all of you, and don't just do it the last minute, try not to forget. Any practical ideas, those are the instructions of Cardinal Sanchez, any practical ideas that you may have as to how the forthcoming Universal Catechism can be not qua catechism, but qua the contents taught, propagated, disseminated among the American people, and especially those who would need, say, to be catechized. We at least have been baptized, and every possible medium of doing this, Holy See would want to know what we are in a position to do. I just got a call from Washington before I came down. I'm being met. I'm going to Washington on Friday. We met by representatives from, I think I told you, the Catholic Voice of America that was started about 15 years ago to use the media to teach the faith. Their board of directors happened to be chairman of the board. And Colonel O'Connor is very interested. In fact, they already promised $150,000 in the Archdiocese of New York. But money is cheap. It's people. People. Dedicated people. So, if then by the is the 1st of July, Wednesday, our next meeting, I repeat, and do pray and think about it. In other words, ways in which, don't write too lengthily, rather if you do write at length, then summarize it. What I want to do then is to, because I've been asked my directives from the Congregation for the Clergy, make clear, now this committee administers, takes care of the mechanics of the International Eucharistic Congress. And the title, by the way, International, is to be taken seriously. In other words, the whole world is to be represented. And the one country is because the whole Western world, but the one country on which the Holy Father especially depends is the United States. Mainly because of our resources, and not just financial resources, but ways of publicizing, ways of making things that need to be known by the people. When the Congregation of the Clergy has jurisdiction over catechetics, I told you there are three parts, three assurances we've given the Holy See for working on the Eucharistic Congress. One is to get Americans involved in the Congress. That would mean, for example, getting people, but they better be authentically Catholic. They better be authentically Catholic. The last thing we want in Seville is some ersatz Catholicism. Allegedly Catholic, representing the United States. You follow the logic. Now, I'm not sure they're going to have, you know, displays, booths, and so on. You may, I'm sure, have read or heard about the Expo 92 that is going on in Spain right now. Well, that too is connected, as you can see, with Spain's having been responsible for the discovery of the New World. Well, this will follow what is in many ways a secular enterprise. You've seen descriptions, Expo 92. Is not the Eucharistic Congress. Spain is not now all that Catholic, as I'm sure you all realize. At any rate, I want from all of you specific ideas on any of these three levels, namely American involvement in the Eucharistic Congress in Seville, secondly, the promotion. And not just having the congresses, say in dioceses, in truly one diocese, had better be Detroit. But let me tell you, you gotta pray. Because faith, as I think you realize, faith in Christ's real presence on earth in the Holy Eucharist has waned. And did I give you the figures last time we met? Gallup poll, whether they're authentic or not, at least really that over 70% of nominally Catholic Americans do not believe in the real presence. And even a stacked poll, we don't know. But he got national publicity. And I've so informed the Holy See. But any diocese that closes, like Chicago, 62 churches. What do you mean, 62 less places in which our Lord is present in the Holy Eucharist? My friends, there's a revolution going on. I told the sisters this afternoon, preachers of charity, we Americans are living in a dream world. And I mean that dream world. We don't realize what's going on, especially for the present purpose to the Catholic Church in our country. Being secularized to the extreme. Got a call from Washington this evening informing me that one of the archbishops, I'd rather not identify him, came out in public, said that just a matter of time, in the very near future, the Catholic Church in the United States would have disappeared. He happens to be one of the leading dissenters. And Holy Father believes, and of course I believe with him, unless Christ in the Holy Eucharist is still believed in, the Catholic Church, where that faith disappears, the Catholic Church cannot, and the Eucharist cannot survive. So, any ideas, but I want them. Catholic participation in the Congress. Secondly, the Congresses. And where do you start now? The Marian Ignatian Catechists are both involved. The Marian Catechists, formally and expressly, have an office in Rome by the Marian Catechists for Eucharistic adoration. That's why we're in existence. And got a letter today from a bishop who got word from one of the bishops that had been written to regarding the Synod Congress. That's Archbishop Lipscomb, I think in Atlanta, Georgia, is it? Anyway, he says, thank you. Thanks for writing to me. I want to be involved. This is what you want. You must tell us bishops. This is what we are bishops for. This is what our Catholic Church is all about. So we're getting bishops, but we have to pray and have to be worked with, and so on. There's work to be done. And the third, the catechetics. Now this year, during this year, by September, that we had some kind of an organized program for the teaching of the Holy Eucharist. Now I plan to have a course together. But then it's one thing to write a course, another thing to get that used and seriously taken and the contents discussed and so on. I've written a book that I hope to have published by October on the real presence. Now that's number one. Let me take this weight off my last three. These are heavy books, by the way. Now these two volumes cost me $150. You don't sell many of these, so they have to charge to break even, published by the Vatican Press. The title of these books is America Pontificia. Pontifical America. Nobody with an attic would publish a book by that title. And these two books contain, and they are, altogether, 1,526 pages. These books contain nothing else, nothing, but the Latin documents of the popes to North and South America, just from 1493 to the end of the 16th century. And I can tell you, this is simply a blank wall to most Americans. So on Friday I'm giving a lecture in Washington in defense of Columbus the Catholic. And most, by the way, of North and South America, though we're losing, as you know, so many to the sects and cults penetrating Latin America, but most of the people are Catholic. And it's not until the 19th century that we in the United States finally had a civil war to do it, ousted slavery. Our human nature is human nature. Whether it's North America and South America, whether it's Catholic, Protestant, or Jew, human nature is human nature. But the popes, well, got rid of the slave traders in those countries that believed in the Pope's authority way back, centuries ago. So these are the two. I don't think I need to pass them around. They're all in Latin. By the way, it would be a wonderful thing if this was in English. And when I see we Americans living in a dream world, I mean much more than you think. In a dream world which is totally out of contact with reality. With the reality going on outside of our country, our media have complete control of what we Americans are to think. The most powerful force in the world is the Holy See. Most powerful. Then I bought my 1992. This is the where are my glasses? Would you read the number of pages?
Thirteen fifty-one.
Oh, it goes more. Okay. Thank you.
I'm sorry, I was incorrect. 2315.
2315. Now, I try to get each year. It's a little late, 1992, but and Lord willing, I'll get the 1993. This is indispensable if anybody wants to deal with the Catholic Church. In the official directory of the Catholic Church, it's called Honorario Pontificio. You might say the papal annual, a pontifical annual. It has, first of all, all the cardinals in the Catholic Church with a short biographical sketch and the address and private numbers. The cardinals. Then follow the dioceses. Every diocese of the Catholic Church is listed. The archbishop, if there was a retired bishop or bishops, they are listed. Address, phone number, and just a very, very summary history of each diocese in the Roman Catholic Church. And the addresses are accurate, the phone numbers. I've yet to find a mistake over the years. Every phone number of every bishop, the private numbers, are in this book. Then, after the dioceses, come the titular sees. As I think I told you, I counted 1900. Number I'm not sure has changed. These are the dioceses that have gone out of existence. And I mean this when I say it, that unless we in North America wake up, Canada and the United States, you're going to have extinct dioceses. Here. Pages, 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 pages. Extinct dioceses. Yeah, the people have just lost the faith. Now, in many cases, these dioceses were wiped out, especially in Africa, by the Muslims. There's no question the most organized, the most powerful, the most determined enemy of the Catholic Church is Islam. No comparison. You'd never, never guess that. You read the Detroit News of Free Press. And within the last year, I may have mentioned this in one of our classes, that the Muslims of 24 African countries have organized to remove Christianity from the continent of Africa. And however, for example, in Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Switzerland, Wales, England, Scotland, empty dioceses should be wiped out. And I repeat, this is, I never dreamt in my wildest dreams that I'd be living in an age which is the most revolutionary period. The most revolutionary period in the 2,000 years of the Catholic Church's history. Question about it? The enemies of the Church are numerous, they're powerful, and they are in high places with billions at their disposal. So then, after the titular sees follow the divisions of the Vatican. In other words, the various congregations, I think we've talked about this, the gradation of, you might say, of authority. The highest are the congregations, then below them are the councils, below them are commissions, below them are the committees, and then similar lower level organizations. And then there's a complete list of all the religious orders in the Catholic Church, both men and women, but only those that are what we call of pontifical right. In other words, many religious communities have been created by the bishops, but are not directly under the authority of the Pope. And I would say the majority, those that are of pontifical right, that have authority directly from the Pope, they are listed in this directory. And these are the various divisions. Then there's a historical section, and then the various cities throughout the world and to what diocese they belong, so you can identify them. And then I would say about a 200 page index with all the names of everybody of any consequence as far as the Holy See is concerned in the Roman Catholic Church. So. And this the Vatican Press ...450-page catalog, and most of these books are unknown in the United States. You hear what I'm trying to tell you, people? As though these books do not exist. And that has been my main job for 20 years. To alert, I'm not working, that there is a Catholic Church. Now, what we're negotiating with the Holy See is, we're negotiating, I mean, this sinner here and such people like yourselves, also the Marian Catechists, that are willing to cooperate with the Holy See. And I cannot tell you, they just, I'm not exaggerating, you're embraced with open arms once they know they can trust you. But that's the bottom line. So what we're doing is negotiating contracts with the Vatican Press and the Holy Father's newspaper, Zoveto Romano, for distribution, sale, and publicity in the United States. Tremendous market. Untapped. I don't think I have to tell you why not. It takes some arrogance to bring the Vicar of Christ to the United States. And not just him, but these are kinds of things. And the prices on some of these books is so exorbitant. It has to be. Not to even break even. So now many of these titles are still in English, rather still in their language, mainly Italian or Latin, for obvious reasons, because you can get them translated to pay for the translation and then the market. You've got to have, so this thing's all got to be developed. That's why I'm being so open with you. Am I clear what I'm saying? To get in the mind of the Vicar of Christ and his teaching, you know, where it belongs, where it's needed. Oh. But I'm not finished yet with my Rome report. And then I met with the with those that I've already described here, but the climax, you might say, of my trip to Rome was Pentecost Sunday. The Sunday before, I couldn't get to Rome because I had to give a lecture in Chicago on Sunday, the 31st of May, and my confrere was being canonized. So he was canonized, but I wasn't there, which is just as well, because it would have been, or could have been at least, you might say, well, just a pious satisfaction. You don't serve God by pious satisfaction. But I went to the Curia, the generally the Society of Jesus, and there met with my former student, who is now Assistant General of the Society of Jesus in Rome, and also the International Director of the Apostleship of Prayer. And I told them that today is Pentecost Sunday, and last Sunday we canonized our fellow Jesuit. So what I think we should do, decide today. This is with my superiors right there. I think today we should agree on bringing back what you may have heard about called the Eucharistic Crusade. Now, I'd like to have Cecilia, if you could remind me, that by the time we meet again on the, is it the second? First of July. That, because some years ago I jointly published a book with the then National Director of the Apostleship of Prayer for the Youth. The Eucharistic Crusade is promoting devotion of the Sacred Heart among the young people. It lasted 10 years, and the floodwaters swept over so much in our country. And Father Tom Deal, that was his name, Father Thomas Deal, D-I-E-H-L, he was National Director of the Eucharistic Crusade, and while I was teaching theology to my own Jesuits, but he traveled around the country promoting devotion to the Sacred Heart, especially among teachers, when we still had Catholic sisters teaching in Catholic schools. It's almost 80% of our Catholic schools have been wiped out. The work of two centuries, Mother Satan, most of it wiped out. In our lifetime, wiped out. And so then we could address ourselves to the teachers, to the sisters. They were, first of all, they were religious. They looked like religious. They talked like religious. They behaved like religious. But with that gone, most of it is gone. The plan then is to address ourselves to parents, especially, and catechists in parishes, or in any ideas you have. All I can tell you, let me assure you, Holy Father knows how well he knows what's going on, better than I would say than any of us, because he's being given constant wide scale information. So I met with my superiors, the International Director of the Apostleship of Prayer, under whose jurisdiction belongs then what we hope will be the resuscitated, like Lazarus from the grave, a program teaching children, and comes in three parts: catechetics, devotion to the Eucharist, and loyalty to the Pope. It's been restored in a number of countries. France has brought it back. Germany has brought it back. Italy has brought it back. Spain, I think, has brought it back. Brazil. But we in the United States are still lagging behind. And over my superiors, we shook hands over it, made an agreement. But that means to find the people who will do this. And on the 13th of this month, this Saturday, I'm going to Washington. On Friday, then all day Saturday, be having a meeting on the formation of a national